thank you for coming. I'm very excited. I'm very concerned about my English, please. I'm from Germany, so I will gather all my English words I have. And I'm not very used to speak English. So, I'm very glad to share a small miracle in the world, a small history of a school, a free school we established in Germany. And yes, I would like to start telling something about me. I did a lot of things in my life, and I never get out of Berlin, really. I'm sorry for that. But 6 years ago, I went off in the countryside of Berlin, and as always happen in the countryside, the schools are not very nice for the children. And so 6 years ago, my own two children had no really good school to go. In fact, it was a school where they had to go with a lot of violence every day. And so I see how they get be and even more frightened every day. So I said, oh no, that's not the way, it cannot be. And so I had a big business running. We bought as a family this house you could see there. And I built it in 3 years in a retreat center. So I could do my own workshops for relationship competencies. And so I thought I need not, again, a big project. But it was calling, and so because of the need of my children, I was in. And I had just finished a 4-year training of a family therapist counselor. And I soon discovered that all my skills I have are so useful for the relationships in the school. And there was a shift in my role. I started as a parent. And then my own children grew and grew and grew, and they grew aside and go another way. And my role shifted, so I get the counselor of the school and brought in all my skills from my family therapist trainee. And I never thought before that I would come in the role of an organization counselor, because I was only fixed on relationships. But I discovered this is the same principles in small and in big. So, and I gained the skills because I did a lot of shadow work, and I used my two horses for this. They are the hardest trainer I have. you cannot come with money, you cannot come with any certificate. They say, no, you're not authentic, I will not see at you. They're very clear, they're very sharp, and it gave me a lot. So, yeah, and now I could use all these skills, and I show you one of my things that let me live, and this is a quote: don't let small minds convince you that your dreams are too big. Because I heard it a lot. No, you cannot build such a big retreat center. No, you cannot build a school in Germany. Not now, and not in the region we are. And that is why it was a mission impossible. Because the last years, none of the new schools made an application by the Ministry of Education, get the yes. Every time they said, no, you don't allowed to run a school. And so we were like, we just go for it, we go for it. Yeah. So, I will show you the timeline where we're talking about. this one. So in 2014, it was a very small group of maybe 8 parents which meet in a very small town, Biesenthal, 5,000 inhabitants. And we meet once a week and decided we go for it. And then 1 year later, we make the application. It was a big deal. It is about 100 sites of concept. You need to type, how is the education, how will the learning will work, how will you make assessments, how give you marks or not, something that. So, and we started with fundraising because none of us had money at all. And we know nobody. So there was no investor. And then we had 2 years. And the ministry is very slow in Germany with allowing, and the process took really 2 years. And it's of that kind that you need to have everything. You have to need the teachers, you have to need the students, you have to need the building, but you don't get the yes from the ministry. And we got it 3 days before the school starts. And it was just an proof to being trustful, to say, it will come. We all start here, and we are waiting here, but yeah, when it comes. But it's really a hard thing. And so we opened up with 13 students, grade 1 to 3, and 2 students, grade 8 and 9, actually. And the whole school goes from grade 1 to 10. That is some quite normal format in Germany. And it's so very small because the first 3 years in Germany, the free schools don't get any money from the state. In the fourth year, they get kind of normal money every school get for a student. So you have to survive 3 years with donations. And so that's the reason, because we started with just a very, very few students, and we had exactly 13 to 15 teachers, maybe one teacher for 1 or 2 hours a week for all the fächer, I don't know. It's very familiar. So this summer, the second school year is starting, and then we will up to 23 students or 25 students. And because now the school is on my own house and retreat center, because it's very small, but the school has to move. It grow bigger and bigger, and it should be in 2020 for 100 students, and then the whole school has to move. And so right now, people in Biesenthal are talking about new buildings and making decisions about which building should it be. It's very exciting. So, if you have any questions, please let me know. I like to hear, and maybe I can. Yes.
Because I'm not familiar with the German educational system. When you say from grade 1 to 10, you said, what does it mean in terms of ages of the children?
It means from 6 years old until 17 years, I think. Yes, then there's high school included, yeah. Okay, and what's the characteristics of the Free Nature School Barnim? It's 3 principles we have. And first, and most important for me, is the relationship competency of all teachers and all adults that are in the school. And that is, for my opinion, revolutionary. Because normally in schools, the most important thing is the knowledge the teachers have and not the relationship skills. The second important thing is everything is self-organized. And so this was a real baby of mine because I'd like to build something really new to make all the new thoughts we have and all the new experience to make it alive. And my fear was in an old structure. You have transforming processes, you have hacking processes, but it's very, you need a lot of energy. So it was a kind of easier to make it right now, right new, from the beginning, what does it need. So it's self-organized, the teachers self-organized the children as possible, and self-organized parents. And there's a third principle, it's nature mentoring. Maybe you heard about John Young. It's one of our purpose. We say we are a teal school, so it means we have the three basic teal characteristics. We work with purpose, we are self-organized, and we work with wholeness. And maybe I find the purpose. And it was a very basic need in the beginning of the group to make this purpose process. It was about 2 days. And it was very powerful, and I think it's a source of the energy for years. And we find five purposes for us. And the first one is grow together, which means adults are learning and children are learning. Everyone is learning, not only the children's. Then we said nature and wilderness should be accessible to experience life for the children. And so we have wilderness pedagogues, and 2 days in the week the children can go in the forest or in the wilderness with a specialist, and even the day they could mostly choose if they want to be inside or outside. I think it's about 70% of the time they could choose. Then mindfulness, wholeness, equal dignity, that was important. Self-organized learning and to have relationship with the students, to have a connection, not just giving knowledge from one to one, but really have connections, really have a togetherness. So I want you to tell a little bit more about the basic beliefs for relationship competencies, because this is a part I experience is much different from any other schools I advise or I'm working with. And it's much more consequently in this school. So a basic belief is we are collaborative from birth on. And so we need not to tell the children that they are be nice or to be good. And why, when we believe this, then the next one point come automatically. If we are people from genetics, so that we are like to bond and like to be in relationships, then relationship is the very most important for us. And this one I give here at the teal track yesterday morning as a seed for others. And that was inspiring for me too. We discovered that we use 20 up to 50% of meeting time to connect and relate. And this is the second big source of energy the school has. And it means every meeting begins that with a round, with a check-in, who am I today? How am I here? How is my body? What I'm about angry about you last week? Maybe I'm depressed by something. What is in my whole life going on? And sometimes it was frightening because it takes so much time. And on the other hand, I discovered really in 1 year or 1.5 years of working with this group, the work was very, very fluid and effective. So it, half of the time is just connecting, and the other half of the meeting was working in a very, very effective way. So that was impressive for myself. I have never been allowed to experience it before because normally relationship time is very limited. Okay, let us come to the points of the agenda. So, and if you and it is important. It is about really deep relating and connecting. This is not about small talk. That's something different. And maybe you need a guardian that is watching, that is deep connecting and not talking about the weather. So that maybe is lost time. So another basic belief is goodbye to one truth to the to say goodbye to one truth. And maybe it's very familiar to you here at the Integral Conference, but for other people it is not. So all what we hear is an opinion and not a fact, and all what we see is a perspective and not the truth. And therefore I train a skill we call personal language. And personal language means not only that my sentence begins with I, but it is like open a window to your heart and let other people see what's inside of you. And if you practice this, the first time you will have tears running and running, because we are not used to be such vulnerable and open. So it sounds very easy, but if you really do it in an organization or in a team, it's very challenging. But on the other hand, in that moment, the connection between the team members is the quality shifts in a second. And we need a lot of acknowledgement, what means to show that I can understand and hear the other opinion or feeling or statement, even if I not agree with it. And that is also one of the main principles for teachers dealing with children, to give them a lot of acknowledgement for whatever they feel or for whatever they know or whatever they have for needs. And it is not to say yes to everything, but to give acknowledgement. It's a very, very important difference. And the third is we need equal dialogue. We need really learning how it is to be in a dialogue and not to monologue. Yeah. So, and now I come to the heart of my presentation, and this is the four values for togetherness. I like it so much because it's very, very simple. It comes from Jesper Juul, a Danish family therapist, famous in education. And I have a handout here, so you can take one. And it's on the one hand, it's so much simple because it's only four values, and you can solve every problem. But on the other hand, it's not a method. It's like a mindset or like a heartfelt. you cannot, it's not a method you can just learn. I cannot say it's just this, this and this. You do step one, two and three and then you have it. For me, it was about 4 years of body working and 4 years of training. And now I would say mostly I get it. So it's a hard way you have to go. That's the bad thing about it. How it works. So maybe you can hand out this. I have here a sheet of paper for everyone where the four values are. So the four values are, the first one is integrity. And it means to be present and to feel myself really in the body, not just in the head, and to feel my boundaries clear. And even more, to protect my boundaries if someone is coming in. So it is to be very clear about myself. Who am I and where does I end? Just here or here or here? And where's my space, my personal room? And the personal room is very, very effective for relationship negotiations. Yeah. And then we have personal responsibility. And it means to take yourself 100% serious. Everything. Really everything, what you feel, what comes, what impulse is coming, every thought is important and has a meaning. And you stand up for it. You don't show to another one and say, yeah, it's because of him. I'm angry because of him. No, I'm angry. It's my feeling. And then it's my anger. And what will I do with my anger? Maybe it's coming because of, yes, but now it's mine. And that is to take responsibility for my own feelings, thoughts, and needs, and it's very, very unuseful to in Germany, I could say. And people are frightened because they say, no, it's I will go egocentric. I cannot say I want to that and that and that. So there's a great fear in it, too. The third one is authenticity, and it's to send one message. Normally, or often, we do second messages sent, because we can talk, and our body talks another language. So how to get body and head together, so it's one message. And these four values, every baby is competent for it. You need not to learn it. You, all of us, we had it when we were born, but we have to relearn it. So even a baby has a feeling if there comes one message or two or three message from the mother or someone else, and will react. Equal dignity means that your perspective is as worthy as mine. And for me, it was not very easy to learn that, because I grew up with this is right and this is wrong. And we can discuss this. And then we have a winner and a loser. So and I was really good in discussing things, because I wanted to be a winner. So to give up this mindset and to say, wow, this perspective is also true, and mine is true, and I have maybe change, and to acknowledge that the other perspective will be widen my perspective. It's not so easy like it sounds. Yes. Yeah.
You have to use the micro because it's recorded. So I saw their personal responsibility. So you said head, heart, and gut. And also I see the something on shoulders. So could you explain about that, the shoulders?
It's just a little bit in the head for the thoughts and your heart and your body. It's just the places are not very meaningful. So what's next?
Yeah, for the equal dignity part, I'm wondering what happens when a perspective is critical of other perspectives. Is that perspective welcome, or what do you do with how you take seriously perspective of the critical self?
The idea of acknowledgement is that you can say, you see it so, but it's not mine perspective. So you can let it be. But sometimes you have to decide if it's allowed to be inside or if it's allowed to be in the organization. But to let the other people their perspective. It's very, a principle which I'm working is to state differences. Normally we seek for harmony. We seek, how could we have the same opinion about that? And so when I work as a coach, I often encourage to say, this is your opinion and it's quite different from that opinion and that is really different from that opinion. And look what it does, what it makes to have these different opinions. And this is powerful if you let that. Yeah. So it's a small answer, not the long one. Any more questions? So how does you learn if how does you learn to use these four values? You can only learn if you use them through feedback of the other person. You cannot define by your own. Equal dignity, you cannot define by your own. You cannot say, I do it. The other person define it and say, yes, I feel it, or no, I feel it, I don't feel it. So learning about feedback from the others, that is how I perceive you. It's not the truth, maybe, but it's that what I perceive from the person. And if you got a lot of feedbacks, you will get some kind of truth. And you say, you can say to some feedbacks, no, it doesn't fit. And to other feedbacks, maybe it fits, yes. So learning is only possible with these values through feedback processes. And it's really important that feedback processes are warm-hearted, not with judgment. You have to. It's good to have a guardian that are not something other. So the next point is, I would like to, the time, not much time anymore. Okay, last point, the leading and self-organization of students is important to me too, because I think this is also special. Most of the schools doing one of it, but I don't know many who doing both together. And it's interested. I try to be at the team meetings from the school, maybe once a month. And after 1 year and a lot of coaching, because they get unlimited coaching for every question they have, after 1 year unlimited coaching, they say, oh, we discovered we're so bad in leading. We want to have a long-term training for it. And so I said, wow, this is great. This is great. You get into it, and then you found, wow, there's much more to learn. And this is how the school I dreamt to be, that teachers are going on their own learning path and have children on their side going their own learning paths. And leading on eye level is difficult for us because we know only very good the old system. Yeah, we know the old system of power. And if I am coaching with teachers and I say the word power, they all said, oh, no, 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 we don't want to have any power. Power is it's awful. And so I don't know, but you have power. You have a lot of power. And you have to use it. So think good. How will you use your power? Because this is the important question. And we have a lot of fear of power because of a history. We know power was combined with fear and violence and was always a lack of relationship and not more of relationship. And power means also for most of people to be above or below or to be loser or winner, to be a perpetrator or a victim. And this is very much inside our bodies, so we have to work on it. And someone called it the bright side of power, and I love this. Because it's true, there is a dark side of power, but there is also a bright side of power, and teachers need to discover this side. And this power is deeply related to the competency of to be present and authentic. And love to have Angela, which do the fooling process with us. She comes to our school and to a Mirabellenhof, the retreat center. And this is especially for teachers, this training, because if you are foolish, you are absolutely present and authentic. And maybe you discovered it's not so easy. So the way to learn to play for adults is a great way to be a great teacher. Yes, and we have school assemblies, but it's important to know that the adults always have 100% responsibility for the atmosphere and for what happens. So the students are encouraged to do as much as possible, maybe run a whole school assembly, but there's always an adult who will go in and if a student is struggling or something. I think that's an important role. Okay, so far my presentation. Thank you for listening.